Welcome into Scoops with DannyMac.com. It's a Friday morning. The Braves are in town, and this is the Minor League Report. As always, this is presented by Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert. Visit him at thehomeloanexpert.com. Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com will join me in just a moment. The AAA All-Stars from Memphis have been named. We'll get into that. Also, the greatness right now of Stubby Clapp. He's on a heck of a roll down at Memphis. And also, what has John Gant done to make himself a big leaguer? All that and more coming up. It's the Minor League Report on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with TheHomeLoanExpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. TheHomeLoanExpert.com.
A Friday morning, and that means it's the ever-popular Minor League Report with Brian Walton from TheCardinalNation.com. Brian, let's jump right into it. Stubby Clapp, he wins the George Kissel Award as really the minor league staple for what everybody in the organization is gunning for a year ago. He's winning again. He won last year at Memphis. What is it about Stubby Clapp that has made him so successful, in your opinion?
Well, I think obviously he's very, very familiar with Memphis, and Memphis is familiar with him. So, I mean, he was called the mayor of Memphis when he was a player there, the most popular player in the team history, still leads the team, I think, in career walks and triples and runs. And, you know, a very popular player. In fact, he's the only player to ever have his number retired. So, you know, that part of it, the environment, he understood extremely well. And he, of course, understood the Cardinals organization, having been a player there. And, the real challenge in AAA is you've got kind of two guys. You've got guys that have been in the major leagues and want to get back, and you've got guys that aspire to get there. And you have to continually manage a changing roster. I mean, we've seen all the injuries in St. Louis, and while there's no doubt the Cardinals have a group of very good players at the upper levels of their system, being able to keep that group to continue to play at the the level that they did. Last year, their winning percentage was .645. Now, that my records only go back for 50 years, but that's the highest winning percentage for any Cardinals AAA team in at least the last 50 years. So, I mean, we're talking about just an incredible record. And this year, they're winning at almost a .600 clip, the best record in the Pacific Coast League. And again, you know, there have been a constant change in terms of players, and most of his rotation is now with St. Louis.
Why do you think he's had success? What is it in the secret sauce for Stubby Clapp to have success at that level?
Well, I think he relates to his players very well, and he's also got a very experienced hitting coach, in Mark Budafka, who's been with the Redbirds for the last decade. He came up briefly and spent some time with St. Louis as well, and then Dernier Orozco. The pitching coach is new with Brian Eversgard now up with St. Louis, but Orozco has been in the Cardinals system even longer than Budafka. So he just has come up through the system, knows the players well, and it's always important, I think, to have a Latin American coach, a coach that speaks Spanish fluently, with so many Hispanic players on the roster. So it's really a team effort.
Hammonds Field was just recently named as one of the top minor league ballparks in all of baseball. The Double A affiliate of the Cardinals. You've been there a number of times, and I get fans that ask me about it all the time. I've been there. But from your perspective, going to minor league stadiums, making a living out of it, why is Hammonds Field such a special ballpark for the players and for the experience?
Well, first you start with the location. We're talking about, just about 200 miles from Busch Stadium. So it's a convenient jaunt. A lot of fans will come and see the major league team, and then based on the schedule, they can catch the Springfield Club at home at the same time. And Hammonds Field is a nice, modern facility. I think it seats about 8,000 with another 2,500 general admission. And it's just a wonderful setting, three tiers. But also for the players, they've got a separate facility that's enclosed for indoor work that has AstroTurf. And, you talk about from the fan perspective, the all-inclusive type of ticket, they have that in what they call the Redbird Rooster, but it's only $28. So, I mean, you get to see the future stars of the Cardinals, and all you can eat and drink for less than $30. I mean, what a deal.
Great deal. John Gant pitched wonderfully well this past week for the Cardinals. And, we've been talking so much, both of us, about Dakota Hudson and Daniel Ponce de Leon, and maybe overlooked to an extent John Gant. When you were watching him in the minor leagues, Brian, what was he really working on to improve? And then what did you just see in a general sense from him in the minor leagues?
You know, Gant's really an interesting guy because he's been traded already twice in his career before he, you know, got to the Cardinals. He was originally signed by the Mets, and then the Braves picked him up, I think, in 2015. And then, of course, he came to the Cardinals as part of the Jaime Garcia trade in December of 2016. And I think you're right. He's kind of an overlooked guy. I mean, he's not flashy, but he throws a fastball in the low to mid-90s. He's got a good changeup and curve. And, you know, the challenge, I think, with him is that he really needed to consistently get those offerings over the plate for strikes. His velocity's good enough that he, as we've seen, you know, when he's on, he can be a very, very effective pitcher. And, you know, he's an ideal guy to have as your sixth starter because he still has minor league options, so he can go up and down as needed. Or who knows, maybe he'll end up with a long-term role in the Cardinals bullpen.
I find it interesting with the Atlanta Braves in town tonight to face the Cardinals. We're going to be talking a lot over the weekend about their young stars, and they've got a bunch, Albies, Acuna, and many others. Their minor league system by many rankings is in the top two, maybe number one, certainly in the top five. How about, though, from the Cardinals' look at it, where are the Cardinals right now after the draft and then the guys that you still consider minor league talent? Where is the Cardinals minor league system, where it ranks in all of baseball?
Well, I haven't seen any refreshed rankings from the National Raiders since the draft. I've seen rankings of the draft which said that the Reds had the best draft in the division and the Cardinals were right behind them and the Cubs had the worst draft. And it's important, it's really, really important for this draft class this year to come through. I'm talking about Nolan Gorman, but, you know, granted, Gorman's a high schooler and he's down in Johnson City, so it's going to take some time for him. But Griffin Roberts, the college pitcher from Wake Forest, and then Lucan Baker, the first baseman from Texas Christian, who's had some injury problems but has great power potential. Those guys really need to, and Stephen Gary, the guy we talked about last time as well, the left-hander, has some great upside, the fourth-rounder. But these guys really need to come through because, remember, last year the Cardinals lost their top three picks between the Houston hacking penalties and the penalty for signing Dexter Fowler as a free agent. So they lost those three picks last year. And then internationally, the Cardinals went way over budget in the 2016-2017 year. They spent like $12 million and went after a bunch of guys, including guys we've seen in Memphis like Adolis Garcia and Randy Arozarena. But so far, those guys haven't really produced yet. And the Cardinals have a penalty situation the next 2 years where they cannot sign any international player for more than $300,000. So what that means is the pipeline in the organization is not filling as fast, especially on the pitching side, as it could be. So, you know, it's going to be a challenge for the Cardinals here in the next few years to hold that ranking, which right now their farm system, you know, coming into this year, was in the low teens, in the 12, 13 to 15, depending on whether you look at Baseball America or Baseball Prospectus or any of the others.
You make a living out of following minor league baseball and do such an amazing job, a thorough job, at thecardinalnation.com. And you've been doing this a long time. And Brian, when you think about, and I talk about it a lot, as you know, on Fox Sports Midwest, I talk about how the teachings of the club, you know, the fingerprints of this team still today have George Kissel on it or a John Mabry, but it's been handed down, Dave Ricketts, generation after generation. Do you still see that today? And if you had to come up with a common theme as to what the Cardinals' teachings are, what do you think that is? So I'll ask you those both those questions.
You know, you mentioned the George Kissel Award, which Stubby Clapp won this last year. And every year, the Cardinals Player Development Organization gives that to the top teacher in the organization. But it's not decided in St. Louis. The coaches themselves across the system vote for that. So it has real meaning. And George Kissel essentially wrote the book that was later called The Cardinal Way. He was a player, manager, a teacher from 1940 to the early 1940s until he passed away in 2008. And his teaching was so crucial in terms of the little things, teaching players, you know, the proper way to bunt, the proper way to take leads, the proper things to do on the bases. It's all about doing all the small things. The Cardinal Way sort of got misrepresented as some kind of an arrogant, you know, we're better than everybody else, and it really wasn't. And, you know, Mike Schilt, who's, of course, the bench coach at St. Louis now, played a key role in gathering the teachings of Kissel and getting them written down and put together in a document form that's a manual that can be used across the system. because what the Cardinals really stress is consistency in how they teach the players to play the game from when they first join the organization until they reach St. Louis. And that consistency is important, both in the results on the field, but also to make sure that those players are ready for what Mike Matheny and the coaching staff are going to expect from them when they get to St. Louis.
Finally, as we wrap it up, the Memphis All-Stars, where are we at with that? We're about at the midway point, a little bit past the midway point of the minor league season for the AAA team.
Yeah, it's an exciting time for a number of players who have been named to the Pacific Coast League All-Star team. And just so folks understand, the Pacific Coast League is 16 teams at AAA level, and they don't play their All-Star game against themselves across divisions like all the other minor league teams. The two AAA leagues play each other in their All-Star game. So the Pacific Coast League All-Star team, you have 16 teams worth of players all, you know, fighting to make the spots on one roster. And the Memphis Redbirds have three players that have been named to the Pacific Coast League All-Star team. Dakota Hudson, which is not a surprise. I mean, he's going to be the starting pitcher in that game, assuming he's still, you know, with Memphis on July 11th when that All-Star game is going to be televised nationally. So Hudson is on the team, the starting pitcher. And then infielder Patrick Wisdom, third baseman, and also plays a little first. And we've talked a little bit about Patrick in the past, having a phenomenal season with the bat. He's been in the system a long time, 26 years old, turns 27-year-old later this summer. And he's just been blocked from St. Louis, but he's hitting 300 with 12 home runs and 48 RBI in 73 games. And, you know, he's just having a very, very fine season. And then the third All-Star is a guy that everybody's rooted for, which is Daniel Ponce de Leon, who has done, a very, very consistent job for Memphis, an ERA under 3, I think third in the league. And it's just done a tremendous job. And, I think we'll be seeing him, obviously, in St. Louis again before too long.
I would advise any Cardinal fan, I know folks get here on Scoops with Danny Mac, and they can hear you talk about the minor leagues. If you want to go really in-depth, go to Brian's website, thecardinalnation.com. And for fans that maybe are tuning into this for the first time, Brian, what do you offer with your website?
I have a team of writers, about 10 or 12 writers, including people who are actually at all the minor league ballparks, providing reports back from what they see with their own eyes from the Gulf Coast League all the way to Memphis. We also have minor league recaps of all the games, these in-depth team reports, and lots of features. We track every move, every disablement move, every promotion that occurs across the Cardinal system, as well as a number of features on prominent players and coaches across the system.
Brian, thanks as always. I'll see you and talk to you on Tuesday.
Thanks, Dan.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com.
A reminder that we have the Minor League Report every Tuesday and Friday here on Scoops with DannyMac.com, as well as Mondays with Mo, my weekly visit with Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak. A couple of podcasts will drop every week as well. Currently up, Paul DeYoung and Tim McCarver and many others. Hope you enjoy those. Game previews before every game on Fox Sports Midwest. That's coming up later today. Thanks for visiting ScoopsWithDannyMac.com.